He did it.
He is risen, alive forevermore. Let me read you a little story that Chuck Swindoll wrote. He says, "When I was a boy, I played sandlot football on a lot next door to a Methodist church at the end of our block in Houston. There was always a marshy puddle, lots of mud around it, because of an outside leaky faucet. It was a place where locusts would come to find water, and once a year, they would shed their skin. If you've ever seen this sight, it's incredible. It looks exactly like a locust, about an inch and a half long, but it's empty. You pick it up, it's light as a feather. It has its legs and its carcass and at least a shell about it. But if you squeeze it, nothing but air. Somehow, in that amazing way, God has made insects that have the ability to slip out of their skin." S. Lewis Johnson said, "The resurrection is God's amen to Jesus' statement, 'It is finished.'"
Peter, stop!
We'll get the guys to help with the search and then we'll divide up, all right? We'll have Andrew take the north, Bartholomew will take the bottom.
Peter, stop! Look, I'm just as confused about this as you are.
Someone stole him. That's the only logical explanation, John.
Wait, okay? Look, what we witnessed today.
The guards, they took him. We have to move swiftly. We have to rebury the body properly.
Look, Peter, stop! Okay, we need to go tell the others.
Tell them what?
What we saw.
We saw nothing.
Exactly.
John, do you not understand that they are trying to stop us? That's why Jesus kept waking us up to pray. That's why they got to Judas. That's why they arrested Jesus.
Just the other day, I was looking at him. I was looking him in the eye, and I told him that I loved him and that I would follow him to the ends of the earth. He was supposed to be our king.
He is the king. When we were in the tomb, I remember something Jesus said.
The linens were just lying there. That they were just lying there.
No. Think bigger. Look, all of this, all of it, was supposed to be preparing us for this moment, for that empty tomb. We just couldn't see it.
Couldn't see what?
Okay. When Mary came back and said that the tomb was empty and that the angel of the Lord was there, that's when it started to come back.
John, enough. We can reminisce about this later. Jesus is missing.
We have to go find him.
He's not missing. That's the point. Look, he was trying to tell us about this. Jesus was preparing us for this. He's risen. Peter, he's a different kind of king, and he always was. Peter, do you remember that night Jesus asked us who we thought he was?
When he called me Satan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I called him...
Lord.
Lord.
Lord of all, Peter. We just didn't understand.
But he's gone.
No. He's risen.
He did it.
Peter, he's risen.
He's risen. He's risen. He's risen. He did it. Do you hear that, world? He's risen. He's risen. He's risen.
I watch it like, I don't know, 3 times at home, cry every time. I was trying to prepare myself so when I showed it to you I wouldn't, but I can't help myself. Before we get to the text that I picked for today, which is Matthew 27, 50-53, and I'm calling this the resurrection, I want to backpedal a little bit to this story. I want to take a look at the scene in the tomb that Sunday morning. You see, it says Mary got there and she found the tomb open. Thanks. And an angel sitting on the stone. And he asked her, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen, just like he said." And then she goes and she tells the disciples, "I went there. It's empty. He's risen, just like he said." And they didn't believe her. I don't know if you'd be able to get your brain around something like that. They didn't understand what he was saying the whole time. How could they grasp the depth of reality of what's going on in this scene? But it says Peter and John decided to check it out for themselves. And so they ran to the tomb. And John, being younger, got there first. And he stooped down and looked in, but he didn't enter it. And then when Peter finally caught up to him, in Peter's style, he barged right into the tomb, saw the body was gone, saw the grave clothes where they laid him, and then left, trying to figure it all out. He didn't understand what happened, and he didn't know what to do about it. And then John entered after Peter. It was the same scene, but there was something very different for John. And so much that had taken place in these last couple of days. Jesus was crucified, he died, and there was an earthquake. The temple veil was torn in half. He was taken down from the cross. He was laid in the tomb. It was secured with a large stone across the entrance. A Roman guard was placed at the tomb to make sure nothing went on with this Jesus thing, because there was rumors of him rising from the dead. So they want to make sure that nobody broke in to steal the body, and then they could say, "Well, he rose." So there was guards posted. But there must have been something very different in that tomb that John saw and Peter did not grasp. And when he entered, John, and he saw those grave clothes and the way that they were laying, it tells us that he saw and he believed. What was it that caught John's attention in such a way, and Peter missed it, that would cause him to see and believe? It's difficult for us to kind of get a picture of what was going on and what he saw when we simply read the text on our own. You could fly right past these details and never really analyze them at all. In John 20, verses 6 to 8, it says, "Simon Peter, who was behind him," behind John, "arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that was around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and he believed." So what did he see? And what about Peter? He went in first. Why didn't he see the same thing? Perspectives, you know? Peter's Peter. He just barges in, takes a look at things with a cursory glance, and then tries to figure it all out. But he was more concerned about the body not being there than recognizing the miracle and the scene that God had put there on purpose so that they would finally get it. What he's been telling them all along. In Luke 24:12, it says, Peter rose and ran into the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home, marveling at what had happened. He didn't get it. So how could that same scene have such two different meanings to two people at the same time? And Luke doesn't distinguish between the linens and the headcloth the way John did. But that's a clue to what really went on there. Peter took a cursory glance at the grave cloths, but he was preoccupied with all the other stuff that he was thinking about because that body was missing. He always jumps to conclusions. John, however, took in the scene. He absorbed something there that Peter didn't catch. There was something special, something miraculous about those grave cloths. And it drew his attention. And it made him think. And it made him remember. And it made him see and believe. So what was the scene? Let's look back at that opening story from Chuck Swindoll. He mentioned how locusts shed their skin. Their carcass looked just like it did before they escaped. And it was kind of the same thing that happened in the tomb. The grave cloths were in exactly the position they were in when Jesus was in them. Exactly. And the cloth that was around his head collapsed and fell right as it was. It made a big difference. It was a miracle. The only explanation is that Jesus' body evaporated from under the cloths, and they collapsed on top of themselves right where they were when he was in them. You can't manufacture that. If someone stole the body, first of all, why would they even not take all the cloths with them? They're kind of in a hurry if they're stealing a body. If the disciples tried to stage it, how could they possibly put these cloths back exactly the way they were? You could try all you want. It's meticulous in its attempt. It could never happen. It's impossible. The only explanation is that this was a miracle. God performed a miracle when he rose Jesus with that same power. And his body just escaped. And everything collapsed. It was a scene that grasped John's attention to the point where he finally realized Jesus is who he said he is. God, risen from the dead. He is risen. He's risen indeed. So let's shift to another resurrection miracle at the same time. This is the text for today. Matthew 27:50-53 reads like this. And then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. And they left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many. A little different resurrection scene. There were many symbolic events that took place at this time when Jesus rose. Here's a summary of a few of them. The moment he gave up his spirit, the moment he died, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This was a 20-foot woven fabric divider. It separated the most holy place from the rest of the temple. And it tore in half as soon as he died. It symbolized the separation between the presence of God and the people. You see, only a priest, a high priest, could enter that holy holies. And that only once a year. But when that curtain tore, it showed us that we all have access through Christ to the very presence of God. No restrictions. He made a way for us to be in His presence through faith in Christ. It's a mystery. It's a miracle. And there was an earthquake that took place and split rocks apart that same moment. And all these pieces are all coming together at just the right time, orchestrated by God. Another miracle of sorts. And then the moment Jesus rose from the dead, we're told that other dead in Christ, or not in Christ, but godly people who had died previously, rose out of their graves and walked the face of the earth and went into Jerusalem, was seen by many as proof that there's a resurrection from the dead. At this time in history, there was a very hard separation of the religious leaders of Israel between who believed in a resurrection from the dead and the Sadducees, who said emphatically, this doesn't exist. And they fought. They fought hard against this teaching. But these people proved that there's life after death. And when Jesus rose, it said He spent days on the earth being seen by many, proving He was alive. Today we focus our attention on Jesus' resurrection, and rightfully so. But there's so much more to this resurrection thing. And we will all be raised to receive a glorified body that will never decay at some point when God says so. And we await that with all who are in Christ. This life is not the end. God proved it with this miracle. And all these people, they all died again. But Jesus didn't. He stayed alive. He ascended into heaven right in front of their eyes. And is alive today at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and for me constantly. There's no reason to fear death in Christ. Not that we're looking forward to it, but there's no reason to fear death in Christ. We have His promise demonstrated by His own resurrection and the resurrection of many earthly people. That's documented in the Bible to give us proof, to give us hope, to show us about His promises, so we can hold on to them by faith and live a victorious life in Christ. And when we go to be with Him. And then at some point, when He comes back again, our bodies will be raised from the graves, a glorious body. Jesus is alive. And when go to meet with Him, we'll be with Him forever. Philippians 3:21 says this, He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like His own, using the same power with which He will bring everything under His control. The resurrection is not some fable. It's not just some historical story that we like to tell at Easter time. It's a factual, real event that happened. He appeared to over many days, rather, to many people in the city and beyond. And then there was those others who also rose and showed themselves as living proof that there's life beyond this, that there's a resurrection from the dead to life again. Jesus told His disciples ahead of time that this is exactly what would happen to Him, but they just couldn't get it. Paul had to defend this doctrine to the Gentile churches that he established. So what's our purpose in the faith if Jesus didn't raise from the dead? Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is worthless and your faith is dead. In that case, we also are exposed as false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he didn't raise him, if in fact the dead aren't raised. But the dead do rise, and Jesus proved it with his own life. He's alive today, making intercession for the saints, us. Do you believe that? Does your life show it? He defeated death that first resurrection. And we commemorate that today, Easter Sunday. Jesus said these words to Martha, before he raised Lazarus from the dead, before he entered Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday, before he was arrested, tried, and sentenced to death, before he was crucified, died, and was buried, and before he rose from the dead himself, in John 11, verse 21 to 26. Martha said, Master, if you had been here, my brother would have died. Even now, I know whatever you ask God, he will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will be raised up. And Martha said, I know that he'll be raised up in the resurrection at the end of time. And Jesus said, you don't have to wait for the end. I am, right now, resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this? He asks us the same question. We celebrate his resurrection, but do we believe he is resurrection and life? If we believe in him, we'll never die, even if our bodies die. And he will raise us up at some point in the future, and our bodies will be like his resurrected body. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Let's pray. Our God, we thank you for this day to commemorate your resurrection from the dead. To be living proof to all of us that we will be with you forever if we believe in Jesus. There's no other qualification but faith. And by your grace, you call each of us with that measure of faith to believe you, to trust you, to know you. God, I pray you would touch each heart here today. And if there's anyone who hasn't made a commitment to you, speak to them. Move by the power of your Spirit. Draw them, O God. Let them not doubt any longer, but to believe the things that you've said, the promises you've made, and your word. And by faith, believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great day.